This is a Kim Monson National News Briefing. NextEra cancels Rice County meeting as SPP greenlights $16 billion in Kansas transmission. More than 100 central Kansas landowners showed up to a wind project meeting the developer had called off hours earlier, the latest collision between a regional transmission build-out and the state's long-standing renewable property tax exemption. From Lyons, Kansas. At least 100 Rice County, Kansas residents drove to the Celebration Center in Lyons on Thursday evening to confront NextEra Energy over a proposed industrial wind farm. The developer had canceled the meeting hours earlier, according to KAKE Wichita, citing a county wind moratorium passed the previous month. The residents showed up anyway. The same week, the Southwest Power Pool Board added the capstone to a roughly one-year approval run that now totals more than $16 billion in regional transmission investment across its 14-state footprint. SPP approved a $7.7 billion integrated transmission plan in October 2024 and an $8.6 billion 2025 plan anchored by a 765-kilovolt regional backbone on November 5, 2025. Much of that new line runs through or serves Kansas. The cancellation at the Celebration Center came after Rice County commissioners approved a moratorium on industrial wind projects in March, aimed squarely at NextEra's proposal. Residents drove in from around Lyons, Sterling, and Little River. The venue was unlocked and a spread of food had been set out, but no company representatives appeared. Virginia Mashu, founder of Stand for the Land Kansas, said on The Kim Monson Show that the residents gave up soccer games, gave up baseball games, gave up everything they could to be there at that meeting, because it's so important to show up to protect their land. Rice County sits in central Kansas, about an hour north of Wichita. The proposed project there is a wind farm, distinct from NextEra's Eastern Kansas transmission work and from a separate 345-kilovolt line at the center of a different landowner fight. SPP's back-to-back approvals are the most consequential pieces of Kansas energy infrastructure policy in at least a decade. The October 2024 plan included 89 projects totaling 2,333 miles of new transmission. The November 2025 plan added 50 more, including 949 miles of 765-kilovolt line that form the new regional backbone, according to trade outlet Utility Dive and S&P Global Commodity Insights. Kansas sits near the middle of the SPP footprint, one reason so many of the new 345-kilovolt and 765-kilovolt lines originate in, terminate in, or cross the state, and one reason landowners, county commissions, and the Kansas Corporation Commission are now fielding a volume of siting fights that would have been unimaginable 5 years ago. Mashu and her members argue the disputes over transmission and industrial renewables cannot be separated from Kansas's tax code. They are partly right, though the underlying statutes predate the current SPP build-out by years. Kansas's property tax exemption for renewable electric-generating property is codified at KSA 79221-11. For applications filed after December 31, 2016, the exemption runs 10 taxable years following construction. Applications filed earlier were effectively permanent. Wind, solar, biomass, hydropower, geothermal, and landfill gas facilities all qualify. Public framing that Kansas recently institutionalized renewable tax credits through the June 2024 special session does not match the bill text. The enrolled special session SB1, as summarized by the nonpartisan Kansas Legislative Research Department, restructured income tax brackets, exempted Social Security benefits, raised the school finance residential exemption to $75,000, and abolished two local government funds. It contains no renewable energy tax credit and no property tax exemption for solar or wind. The 2024 regular session Senate Bill 410 moved in the opposite direction, creating a new electric facility property tax exemption that expressly excluded renewables. The federal picture is different. Under Section 6418 of the Internal Revenue Code, added by the 2022 Inflation Reduction Act, developers of qualifying renewable projects can sell their federal production and investment tax credits to unrelated taxpayers for cash. That transferability is a feature of federal law, not Kansas law. Kansas's own electric cogeneration facility credit, a state income tax credit worth 10% of the first $50 million invested and 5% above that, was available only for tax years 2007 through 2011 and closed to new applications after that. What reaches industrial renewable developers in Kansas today is the pairing of the state property tax exemption with the federal credit and its transferability market, not new Kansas-specific giveaways. One of Meshew's steadier projects is helping Kevin McFarland, owner of the 3,500-acre Magnolia Ranch, fight a separate transmission project. The line affecting Magnolia Ranch is the Buffalo Flats, Delaware 345 kilovolt project, built by Evergy Kansas Central, not by NextEra. The ranch dates to 1883 and is listed on the National Register of Historic Places. It sits in the heartland tallgrass prairie. SPP issued its notification to construct for the Evergy portion on September 22, 2025, and the Kansas Corporation Commission must issue a siting decision by May 13, 2026. In eastern Kansas, meanwhile, NextEra subsidiary Neat Southwest received its KC Certificate of Convenience and Necessity in August 2022 and a siting permit on a 2-to-1 vote in May 2023 for its 83-mile Wolf Creek to Blackberry 345 kilovolt line, a separate corridor from the Evergy project and from the Rice County wind fight. Stand 4. The Land Kansas grew out of a farmer and rancher coalition into the state's leading grassroots voice on eminent domain, wind and solar siting, and county-level moratoriums. The group is funding an amicus brief in Civil Action 525 CV 4003, a federal lawsuit filed by Jackson County, Kansas, citizens that names the U.S. Department of Treasury and other federal agencies as defendants over NEPA review of NextEra's Jeffrey Solar Project. Machu said on the show that what Kim Monson's news article did was tie a lot of strings together for us, describing how landowners across multiple counties have begun comparing notes on tax treatment, siting, and developer behavior. The question she keeps returning to is whether the paperwork, the tax abatements, the federal credit transfers, and the transmission approvals are being made available in a form a local property owner can read, time, and challenge. And now, Kim's perspective. Kansans are learning what Coloradans already know. When transmission lines, wind turbines, and solar arrays move through your county, the money and the paperwork have already moved first. Elected representatives sign off on tax exemptions and siting procedures that sound technical, and landowners are left reading the consequences on their own property. Virginia Machu and her neighbors deserve the same transparency any ordinary citizen should expect when a multi-billion-dollar project crosses their land. Call a cancellation hours before a crowd is set to arrive what it is, a measure of how much accountability the current system is actually willing to provide. Kansans are right to demand the paperwork, and Coloradans should be paying attention. For the full article with sources and links, visit kimmonson.com. This has been a Kim Monson National News Briefing.